Welcome back to Farm Talk, second hour. All right, now we're going to head out to Bismarck for our weekly feature brought to you as a service by the North Dakota Farm Bureau. We visit with Pete Hannabit, Public Policy Director for the Farm Bureau, and we're getting into not only the waning days, Pete, but maybe the waning hours. I was thinking things would be wrapped up today, but you were saying off here that it might go into this weekend a little bit.
Yeah, there was a lot of hope that we'd be done tonight before midnight, and in theory, it still could happen. But realistically, some of the budgets that have not yet passed, once a deal is made, for example, it takes several hours for the paperwork to get to the right places so that everybody is comfortable with it, so it's ready to go. And so realistically, if they pass that final one or they got the deal done at 6 o'clock this evening, we still wouldn't be looking at having all the paperwork to go across the desk electronically or otherwise until midnight. So I would suspect, I had hoped that they would finish this evening sometime before 11:30. But at this late hour, I start to feel like we're going to have a Saturday morning session and be done early tomorrow afternoon.
Okay.
I'm still hopeful. But it's possible, and I know they won't go to Sunday, and I don't think they'll go to Monday, but we'll just have to see.
Okay, well, we'll see how it fares. They did a lot of work this week. A couple of things, there's about four different things we're going to talk about in the time that we've got allotted here. Tax relief is going to be our number one topic here, and at the beginning of the session, we knew that tax relief was coming. We weren't sure if it was going to involve property tax relief or not, but there is some component of that in there, so is everything officially signed and passed for the tax relief package, and then you can tell us what it is?
Yeah, the governor officially signed it yesterday. It is a pretty massive tax cut package, $515 million, and it is a balance of different kinds of taxes. Some of the Republicans had in mind that we were going to move toward a flat tax, and that just didn't seem to be palatable to some folks. And so that's not part of the package, but it is an awful lot of relief for income tax and for property tax homeowners. And while this component of it is not what we would have wanted as a farm organization and in the farm community, we always want more and more property tax, since we pay a disproportionate amount of tax compared to the services we use. Everybody understands that. But it is hard to get something across the finish line that only serves a small segment of the economy. And as far as population and voters, that's what agriculture is. We know that we as a population are not more than half the voters in the state, but homeowners certainly are.
Okay.
And so the property tax package includes some things for homeowners. Some agriculture people will be able to take advantage of that. Most already get that relief. And then there's some income tax involved in it as well. I'm not a number cruncher, but I would just tell you that it's a substantial amount of relief across the board for people who live in North Dakota. If we just give a property tax break, one of the complaints about that is that we give tax relief to people who don't live in the state but own property in the state.
Right.
So that was some of the pushback we had, and that's a shame that people think of it that way, but that's the reality of the balance between the politics and the policy. But this does go a long way in moving some of our goals in the right direction. Moving towards some of our goals and in the right direction. When you think about some of the provisions of this that don't allow, the tax relief goes directly to the citizens and it doesn't get filtered through someone who can then siphon off some things. And that is what's happened in the past with some of the tax relief bills that we've had going back several sessions. The legislature has tried to return tax dollars to the citizens, and somehow, miraculously, quote-unquote, through the process, it has gotten sopped up by entities of government along the way, and no real tax relief has gotten to the citizens. And this is a more direct payment back to the citizens that cuts out the opportunity for some other folks along the way to sop up the difference and you know, invest that, quote unquote, in their local communities, but never give the tax relief to the citizens.
Yeah.
So this does start us in the right direction of having long-term tax reform that we've looked for. It's just not all the property tax that we would like, but it is
okay.
Income tax relief, and that's good too.
Two questions for you then in relation to this property tax, because I was looking at that specifically as I stagger with my property taxes every year. $500 in a credit or reimbursement in 2014 is what I'm seeing, and then there's something to do with people that are homesteaded and elderly. Is that basically the brunt of it?
Yes, that's the gist of it, and it has to take effect in the second half of the biennium because just the way the numbers work out and the notifications and all that kind of stuff. So it will be a credit right off the bat in the next tax season, and that's okay. And then it is weighted more heavily toward the more senior fixed income kind of folks, and that's okay too, you know.
Okay.
And so it will capture an awful lot of people in this state and give them real tax relief versus tax relief on paper that never gets back to them. And I think that's what certainly what Representative Hedlund, who's the chair of the House Tax and Finance Committee, and Senator Connie Annan, who's the Senate chair, that was one of their major goals, was to make sure that we got the tax relief back to the citizens and it wasn't taken up by somebody else along the way.
Well, fortunately, I still have more questions than this, but I'm going to move along because I got only 4 minutes left. So let's talk about corporate farming. And we'll do a bigger recap on this next week. We'll just figure out a day because I'm sure you and I could talk taxes for like an hour or more.
Yes, we could. Yeah.
But corporate farming, where did we end up there? Go ahead.
Well, The 1371 was signed today by the governor. It's a historic day in North Dakota in that we are moving away from a structure here that limited our business opportunities within agriculture. Many people understand that our rules here are different than every other state in the nation, and that tends to be why we lag behind every other state in livestock production. The only exception to that is that we didn't have these rules for beekeepers, and we are the greatest bee state in the country, which should tell you that since our anti-corporate code things didn't affect beekeepers, and they were able to grow, and none of the traditional animal agriculture segments of our economy have been able to grow. That should tell people something. But very historic day in the passage of this bill will allow business structures within animal production to move forward in the way that they do in every other state. And we feel that it's going to be a huge bonus to production agriculture of animals. And that will, then be reflected in the way that our corn and our soybeans are being used. We're becoming a lot more of a corn and soybean state than we used to be a wheat state, of course. And as we have these crush plants and these ethanol plants, the byproduct or the products from those plants can stay right here in North Dakota and make all of our ag economy better. Rather than having to ship grains through Duluth or through Seattle and take our chances on the world market. So this is a big day for animal agriculture and all of agriculture and family farms in North Dakota. The perception that a corporation is not a family farm will go out the window with this thing, and people will see the reality that family farms can be incorporated farms and still be family farms. And we look forward to seeing the day when these animal ag structures start to grow in this state, predominantly through family farm structures.
Sure. And did that bill pass with immediate effect, like now, like these rules are in place, or do we need to wait?
There was the emergency clause on it, and so since he signed it this afternoon at whatever time that was, 11 o'clock this morning, since the governor signed it, it is in effect, this afternoon.
Okay.
And so when you start hearing about these things and seeing ribbon cuttings of things that are really going to start in North Dakota, you're going to remember this day was when it really got kicked off the ground with this signing of this bill.
And for sure, I just want to get this in before we run out. The extension money and the money for upgrades for NDSU, to my knowledge, all that passed, right?
All that passed yesterday evening, afternoon in the Senate, and the Ag Commissioner's budget passed this morning. There's an awful lot of money in the Ag Commissioner's budget that helps us combat things like this waters to the U.S. and other things that we've heard about lately, endangered species stuff. And so good week for agriculture in the state legislature.
Was there anything that really stuck out in the commissioner's budget? I mean, was there anything really new or something different, or was it pretty much what we would expect?
Not a whole lot of new, but I think some of those grant programs that go to pay the lawyers that are keeping us from having to fight individually, fight the EPA right now, and to fight some of these other groups. The groups who oppose modern production agriculture and this administration in Washington particularly are doing a lot of things to hurt production agriculture in the Midwest, flyover states, red states. And there's an awful lot of things in the Ag Commissioner's budget that can help us fight some of that through his legal team. And so they call it lawfare sometimes when we end up in court trying to defend ourselves, and an awful lot of things in the Ag Commissioner's budget that will help him help all of us in agriculture, and that's a positive for North Dakota agriculture.
And as always, I know that you guys do a great job at the NDFV website to give all the information back, although I'm assuming you and others are going to be writing around the clock trying to get all these bills and all this information. You're probably not doing every line of everything, but people can go to your website and check out podcasts. Why don't you give a run through real quick on that?
Yes. You can go to the NDFB website, ndfb.org, and find podcasts. Emory did one this past week with Don Vigasaw, who is the appropriations chairman in the House, just to talk about the way budgets will go, so you can get a little deeper drill onto that. And then we will have a session wrap-up coming up, and we'll do a more extensive dive into everything that happened at the session in weeks to come. And you and I can schedule that talk as well. So yep. I'm always happy to do it. Maybe it'll take a few days for all the chips to fall, but if they finish tomorrow, Saturday at noon, surely by next week we'll know where everything is and understand how all the budget numbers shook out and how those interactions take place, and we can have a longer talk sometime in the future.
Absolutely. We'll do that next week if we can, if it works out for you, and we'll do it in a longer form because, to be honest with you, 10 minutes ain't going to cut it. So we'll have to figure out a time to do a bit more, especially for you and I. But, Pete, as always, we appreciate everything you do and what Farm Bureau does. Thank you so much for joining us today, and I hope it does get everything finished tonight so you can get back home.
It would be wonderful. Thank you. It's always my pleasure.
Thank you. Pete Hanabit, North Dakota Farm Bureau Public Policy Director. We're going to take a break. We're going to tell you about a fun event down in Lisbon coming up, not this weekend, but next weekend next.